getting to our message, just want to sing this song. I do it every now and then. It ties in my message. You know, we tend to think that, you know, if we don't hear an answer right now, God's not hearing. Or if we don't get an answer right now, God's not moving. We wonder where God is at sometimes. But even when we think God is late, he's still on time. Because God's timing is perfect. We must realize that. God's timing is always perfect in everything. And so this song talks about that. It's a story of Lazarus. We'll be reading about it. And this song, of course, you've heard, 4 days late. I want to sing it. I want you to hear the message that even when God seems to be late and not showing up, he still is very on time for our lives. Listen to the words of this song. The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick. Without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. They wondered why. The death watch was over. Buried 4 days. Somebody said he'll be here soon. The Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him and then she cried, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time? Jesus, said Martha, I need you to show me that grave. She says, Lord, you don't understand, he's been dead 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive.
He's alive.
You may be fighting a battle of fear. You cried to the Lord, Lord, I need you now, but he's not appeared. Friends, don't be discouraged. Oh, our God's still the same. He'll be here soon. He's going to roll back your stone and call out your name. Do you believe that, church? He's going to call out your name. And all hope seems gone. Don't understand so long. But his way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late? He's still on time. Oh, isn't it great when he seems 4 days late? He's right on time. Still on time. All the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All things are possible, church. No matter how dead it looks or how dead it appears, doesn't matter what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears, we serve a God who is, who always will be. We serve a God who can. We serve a God who is now and a God who is tomorrow, a God who is yesterday, the Alpha and Omega being the end. There is no start, there is no finish. He's always been and will always be. That's the God we serve. We can understand that, but that's who we serve. All things are possible, from healing the sick to raising the dead to restoring a marriage to saving a rebellious child. There is nothing impossible with God. Do not limit God to what he can do. God can do all things to anybody at any time if he so desires. That's the God we serve. All things, I'm telling you, all things are possible with the God I serve. For death could not hold him. The grave clothes could not hold him. The tomb could not hold him. He rose from the dead the third day, declaring that death, hell, and the grave had now been overtaken by the righteousness of the Lamb of God, our King forevermore. All things are possible. Remember that. The world says no. Where's God? Where's God in all the tragedy? Where's God in all the chaos? Where's God in all the heartache? Where's God in all the sickness? I understand there's a lot of things going on, but I understand this, that God is faithful. God is steadfast. God is right and said is for me and not against me. God watches me when I can't watch myself. He goes before me when I have no idea what's before me. He's behind me when I don't know what's trying to chase me down. God surrounds me with his presence, surrounds me with his glory, and I know God is in me forevermore, and nothing the enemy can do can take away what Jesus has already done. It is finished. It is accomplished. It is sealed. It is done. That's the God I serve. All things are possible. Don't you give up because you've not seen it yet. Just because it's not happened, don't mean it's not going to happen. Just because you haven't seen it happen yet doesn't mean it's not on the way. I'm telling you, God still is on the throne, and there is no nuclear weapon. There is no warfare. There is no political movement. There is no sin. There is no man that can step in and get in the way and take away or change or alter what God has planned for his people and for his kingdom. It is finished. It is done. So you hang on and believe that. I know life's hard. Church, I know life's hard, and I don't believe in that patty cake stuff about when you're saved, everything is good. No, it ain't. It's not. We have problems. We have trials. We have tribulations. But as Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that overcomer now lives in me. And somehow, in my storm, I can still praise him. When the rain's fallen, I will not drown. When the lightning strikes, I will not be hit. When the wind blows, I shall stay grounded, because I serve a God who's called me by name, and not for a temporary journey, but for an eternal, eternal journey all of my days. God has got me all of my days. So don't let temporary storms take you off course of an eternal destination. You know, one thing that I hear people say, something we hear when people are talking about suicide or you know, want to take their own lives or they can't take it. And something I heard someone say one time, say, you know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I want you to think about that. Don't, I mean, I know we all have battles, but our battles, they do end. We have new battles, yeah. But you know what? The storm that looks, I know you don't think of it. I know you don't think about this, but I promise you, I can prophesy this in the Holy Spirit. It won't always rain every day. The sun's going to shine again, thus saith the Lord thy God. The sun's going to shine. I promise you, it's there. And one day, those clouds are going to give way again, and we're going to be out there with that sun. Then we're going to be whining because we need rain. I mean, that's how we are, right? But the sun's going to shine again, and every storm passes. And so what do we do in the storms? We learn to praise them in the storm. We learn to know that, God, you're the same God in my storm than when I'm on the mountain shouting the victory. You're the same God when I can't see my way out as when you brought me out. You're the same God. No matter where I stand, you are the same. You change not. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob is the same God of this generation. Do you understand? The same one that parted the Red Sea
can part your Red Sea, the same one that told the lions, keep your mouth shut. I've got a prophet in there that you can't touch. That's the same God that still says, I've got a prophet, I've got a people, I've got a seed. You may can roar and loud and be all big and bad, but you shall not devour them, for they are called by my name and they are mine. Glory to God. All things are possible. So let's get into scripture this morning in John chapter 11. And this is the story of Lazarus, this man who had died and who God said he wasn't done yet. You know, we always think that maybe our season's over, or that we've seen our best days, and God is like, no, I'm not done yet. Just hang on. Just wait. You may look dead to you, but you just wait, because I've got some good things in store for you. Chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Am I in the right? I'm in Luke. I'm so sorry. I knew that didn't sound right. I'm sorry. John 11. I even said Luke well. I don't know why I want to keep going to Luke. John 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister. Okay, that's right. I put a new contact in this morning. It's not settled right. I'm sorry. Mary and to see her sister Martha. You know what my vision is, by the way? Mel can't believe it. She's like, oh my gosh, you want me to drive? I went to the eye doctor last week, okay? My vision without corrective lenses, like you have, you know, 20/20 or 20/30 or 20/40, you know, I mean, regular. What's yours, Carrie? Do you know what it is? The doctor told me last week, he's not seen many people like me. He said, you're really bad. I'm like 23/25. You're 400? Okay. 23/25. I asked him why. I got astigmatism. I said, what causes that? You know what he said? Genes. Thanks, y'all. Genes. Not blue jeans, Lewis jeans, or mint jeans, or Baldwin jeans, or somebody's jeans. What's weird, both my parents don't have no eye problems. I mean, they got to wear some reading glasses now, but they can see great. My dad can shoot a buck deer at 400 yards. I couldn't see a piece of roast beef in front of my plate. Doctor told me, said, you are really bad. So I don't see people that's like you. So I'm like, okay, thanks. So anyway, that explains why I got contact. So I am like 20/25 with corrective lenses. So I'm pretty close. All right, what verse are we on? Two, okay. We're going places this morning, all right? If it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, and I love this verse, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, what's important about that verse is this. It's not that Jesus caused this sickness, but he's saying this sickness is going to cause me to receive glory. It's a big difference. I'm going to get glory out of this, because people are going to see who I really am. It's going to be a testament to who I am and what I can do. It's going to point people to a power higher than the law, higher than themselves, higher than what they've learned and what they've heard. It's going to point them to me, that I am the Son of God, that I am the resurrection and life, that I am who I say that I am, and I'm going to get glory out of this. See, I love when we can take our stories of peril, so to speak, and give God glory for that. We've all done that, right? We've got a story we can tell. I was in this place. I was in this storm. And I was in this battle, you know, and da-da-da. And then we call it something else today. We call it testimony, right? I'll have a testimony one day.
I'll have a testimony of what God did for me. I have a testimony of where God brought me from. I have a testimony. And there are times that we definitely have testimonies because of the storm we went through, where we can say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, it was God Almighty and God alone that brought me out, that kept me, that healed me, that provided for me, that protected me from all harm, from all sickness. God rescued me, that He gets the glory. You know, a story that here in our local church is very relevant to that is when Lindra had her terrible wreck all those years ago. That's been, what, 6, 7 years ago now? 08, 09, somewhere in there. It's been several years ago. Coming back on I-40 from California back to North Carolina, in Oklahoma, wrecked in a Mustang, crossed 4 lanes of interstate traffic to the other lane and hit a transfer truck, and it peeled her Mustang top all the way off. Going high speed, she fell asleep and hit this. And then you've seen her today. She's alive and well and working, and she has scars all over her body. If you ever notice, she's got scars in her arms, and you can see her scars. Her scars. But you know what? Her scars are a testimony. Her scars bring God glory. When you look at those scars, you see, wow, man, that's a testimony of you should have been in the grave, dead and buried. But no, God says, no, I'm not done yet, because with me, all things are possible. Even a Mustang going 75 miles an hour in a transfer truck head on, it's still possible I keep you alive. It's possible I raise you up. It's possible I heal you and restore you, that you go forth and tell other people what I did for you. So there are things that bring God glory. I think there's times it's not that God can't move. Maybe God doesn't move because there's a story to tell. There's a testimony. There's a glorification He's wanting to receive that only He can get. Because I'm going to tell you something. People, mankind and people, will try to steal God's glory. They'll try to steal God's thunder. They'll try to take credit for things like healings and deliverances and setting the captives free and da-da-da-da. And God is a jealous God, and only He should be God, and He wants all the glory. There are times that you can only point to God and say, I know without a shadow of a doubt that was God and nobody else. Man couldn't have done that. Man couldn't have fixed that. It was God that did that. So this verse to me means a lot to me, that He's not going to... He didn't bring the sickness on Lazarus, but He's going to use it for His glory. Then verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Now think about this. Jerry calls me one day. Pastor down here at Baptist Hospital. I'm dying. Any minute I could go. All right, Brother Jerry. I'll see you in a couple days. Hello, Pastor. I said I could go in any minute. Do you understand? Yeah, I'll see you in a couple days, brother. Hang in there. Okay. Mama, call your preacher. I need somebody down here now. I mean, think about that. I'll be there in a couple days. Can you imagine the response, the reaction? I mean, he stayed after he heard his friend was dying, friend he loved. I'm going to hang out 2 more days. There was a reason for that. 2 reasons, I think. One is, he had unfinished business where he was. He had to finish. And number 2 was, he was going to bring a lot of glory to himself. Because he goes on, we skip down now to verse 11. These things saith he, after he saith to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, sometimes we got to be plain, right? Lazarus is dead. He ain't sleeping. He ain't dreaming. He is dead. D-E-A-D. Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to raise him from the dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. I'm glad I wasn't there, because what I'm going to do is going to cause your belief and your faith level to be so elevated. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found they had already laid him in the grave 4 days already. Been in the grave 4 days. Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. It's about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming,
went and met him, but Mary sat still in her house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, God's about to bring a great revelation here. Because how many times do we think that? Lord, if you. See, there's no limit to God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Here's what I'm trying to say. The doors never close with God. The clock's always running. It's never on zero. With God, the fat lady never sings. That puts it to you. It's just not over. Because if God's in it, even the door seems shut, God can open another door. God can create a new opportunity. Death's not going to hold God back. Cancer doesn't hold God back. Divorce doesn't hold God back. You losing your job doesn't hold God back. There is nothing that's bigger than God. No problem, no storm, no battle, no circumstance, no situation is bigger than God. We serve a God who created everything we see. All the earth, all the seas, the sun, the stars, the moon, creation, everything we see, God made. Pretty amazing to see his creation. To me, the animal world is such a wonderful part of God's creation. When you see all the different animals, even around this area, all the animals that we see, the wildlife, from the raccoon to the possum to the chipmunk. I mean, all the little things that are so different that God made. You know, I saw some geese flying south about 2 weeks ago. I called Melanie because she hates winter. I said, bad news, baby. Just saw the geese flying south. And I knew it was south because I had my Jeep has a compass, and they were going with me, south. So I knew it was south. Plus the sign says 77 south. But anyway, I knew they were going south. And I called her. I says, the geese are flying south. You know how amazing that is? Now, I want you to think about this. You know, people, when they insult other people, sometimes will call people bird brains, right? You're a bird brain. They're pretty smart. How do these geese know when to start leaving the area they're in, flying hundreds of miles away from that area? And they fly in a V formation. And the lead goose rotates out. And, you know, okay, Fred, your turn. He backs off, and Fred goes forward. Then he flies for a while. Come on, George. He backs out. Then George comes up. I mean, we don't communicate that good. We can't get a Whopper right in the drive-thru. What did they say? A Whopper with cheese. Here are keys. Yeah, exactly. Here are geese who somehow know when to go south, how to fly in a formation, when to rotate out. It is absolutely amazing how our animals hibernate for the winter. How do snakes know when to go in? I know most of y'all are like, hallelujah, thank God they know. But them snakes know when to start taking cover. They know when it's time to quit baking on the road and go sleep with a toad. I mean, they know when it's time to go hide somewhere. The bears know when to hibernate. Them big old bears, for months they go into hibernation and go that deep sleep, and then somehow they wake up. What wakes them up? The Creator wakes them up. It's a beautiful thing. When we start realizing the detail of how God is, how perfect that God is, from that sun 93 million miles away, which even me and Angela can see, with our naked eye, which is amazing when we can't see something this close, but we can see the sun, and we see that beautiful moon that is always changing, that controls those tides, and all the creation within the seas. Oh my gosh, all that creation, from the beautiful whale to the great shark to the small little hermit crab, all of that that lives and abides together. And we see all that God is, all that God's done, all that God's created, and yet we doubt him that he can fix our storm, calm our storm, change our situation, heal our flesh, restore our family, save our children, protect us as we drive and sleep at home, and watch over our country and our nation until the day we see him. That's the God we serve. If he takes care of the geese that much, and the grizzly bear that much, and the raccoon that much, how much more? If he tells the sun to shine and the moon to stand, how much more is he and his people helping us and leading us and watching over us if he cares that much for his other creation? Because we are his greatest creation, his human life, the very seed of God that he birthed in the earth. that he breathed life and created a living soul. From the dust of the ground, he formed us. And the Bible says he breathed into us. And what was once dead became alive. And it only became alive because he breathed into us. And that breath of life is what causes us even today to still live. And if he does that, all things are possible. Do you realize how many miles of veins are in your body? There are miles of veins, miles and miles, if you stretch them out from end to end, that God compacted and put all in this body. That's pretty amazing. And how our heart beats 70, 80, you know, depends on where you're at health-wise, 70 to 80 times a minute, let's just say, every minute for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. That's better than a Toyota, you know what I'm saying? It just keeps going and going and going and going. It is amazing that God does that. God created that. And yet, we think because a door's closed, oh well. And we're all guilty because we all get in our self-pity wagons, our little bandwagon, and we, you know, nobody knows. Why don't God bless me? Why don't God hear me? I do all the right stuff, and why don't God do this? And why don't God do this? But understand, there are seasons to everything, and God's always on time. And God keeps us from the wrong season and the wrong time if we'll trust him. And say, God, in your time, Lord, in your season, Lord, in your way, I will trust you. I will have peace that you know what you're doing. I don't. And I'm going to trust you're going to lead me and guide me. You're my GPS. You're my compass. You're my MapQuest, whatever you want to call it. You're that. And God, I'm going to trust you. I'll just follow the directions you give me. If we could learn to operate that way and have that peace, we would save ourselves a lot of stress and a lot of undue worry. You know, the Bible says don't be anxious for anything. Means don't worry about anything, but in everything, go to God in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about it. Just trust God. God's brought you this far. God's kept you. All of us have testimonies of we should have been dead. We should have died in this or could have been dead here. Shouldn't have. You know, my wife was born 2.5 months early. She only weighed 3 pounds and something when she was born. I mean, just, you know, tiny, you know. And then, but God kept her, and God raised her up. And now she don't weigh 3 pounds no more. God has helped her become a full woman. I mean, think about all the times that God's kept you. And all the times we don't know God's kept us from where we should have been. And here's something else. What we deserved. Where should we be based on what we deserve? How should our lives be based on what we deserve? Our rebellion, our anger, our disobedience to God, but yet he loves us, he is for us, and yet he blesses us, and yet he keeps us when we don't deserve that. That's the God we serve. All things are possible with him. I know that even now, verse 22, I know that even now whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, and here's a great revelation, church. I am the resurrection. We've always, you know, people talk of the resurrection being a day. The resurrection is truly a person. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am, or he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What Jesus was saying is, look, life's here now. He don't have to wait until a certain day. He don't have to wait until I establish my millennium kingdom on the earth. He don't have to wait until the trumpet sounds. I am the message. I am the trumpet. I am the life. And everything I touch changes because I've touched it. I want you to think about all the miracles of Jesus we read about. Heal the blinded eyes. Remember the one place he got dirt up and spit in the dirt and rubbed his hand together and then put his hands on the eyes and healed the eyes. He healed the crippled. The little daughter that was dead, the little young girl, he went in the back room and raised her up from the dead. Everything Jesus touched, it changed. Everything. When he touched Zacchaeus in a sense of touching him in spirit, he said, come down from this tree.
because I want to touch you today. And he saved his whole household. When he went to the little woman at the well, and I love that story because in our generation, we look at people like, oh my gosh, you know, all they do is sleep around with men. They've had all these babies. They've done this. They've done that. Here's Jesus went to this woman. This woman didn't want to live that lifestyle. Do you realize that people that are in sin, that are living against the will of God, don't like doing that normally? It's not what they want to do. But they're in they've been pulled in that direction. A lot of them lose hope. They lose, they're grasping for truth. Here's this woman who had been with five or six men, and the one she was with now she wasn't married to, and Jesus told her that. She goes, oh, you are a prophet. How'd you, you know, you must really be a prophet. You knew that. And I'm sure she felt very, you know, why are you talking to me? Number one, you're a man and you're a Jewish man. I'm a woman and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you even talking to me? Because he has something to give her. He was letting her know, with me, Miss Samaritan woman, all things are possible. Your sins can be forgiven. Your past can be wiped clean. And you can look in the mirror and know that you have been touched by the Master. For my grace does not just stop in Jerusalem. My grace, let's put it this way. My grace doesn't just stop for the ones who wear a suit and tie and don't drink, smoke, or curse. My grace goes to all people who want me, all people who need me. My grace doesn't just go to the clichéist church, but my grace goes to the ones who look a little rough, who's done some bad stuff, who you won't want to meet in a dark alley at night. My grace goes to that one. My grace doesn't go to the one that has no tattoos and no piercings and no yellow hair. My grace goes to all who will call upon my name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall be called shall be saved. So my grace and my touch goes to everyone. All things are possible. I don't care how divorced you've been, how many times you've been divorced, how low you feel, how strong your addiction is, whatever pit you find yourself in. With me, all things are possible because I can take you out of that miry pit and I can set your feet back on solid rock. That's who I am and that's what I do. Because you know what? I don't just play God. I am God. Hallelujah. I don't just play God on TV. I am God every day and all day long. And there's nothing that I can't break. No chain I can't sever. There's no stronghold I can't overcome. There is nothing I can't fix because I'm God. I am God. Even death and the grave can't stop me because I'm the resurrection. So when I go by, boom, life happens. When I speak, life happens. When I touch, life happens. When I pass by, life happens because that's who I am, the resurrection and the life. And nothing stronger or bigger than me. None of your battles are. So hang on to that. Be encouraged by that. God, nothing is impossible. We've been praying for stuff in our lives and waiting on God to move and waiting on God to move. And some get so discouraged, they give up on God. And they walk away and they say, you know, I'm done praying. Prayer don't work. I'm done believing. Believing don't work. I'm done having faith. Faith don't work. Da, 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 da. And all along, God is like, don't you trust me? See, trust has to be more than just a temporary thing. You know, I think about the story of the children of Israel. I love the story when they'd been delivered, they were set free, and they were marching along. They were all happy until they got to the Red Sea. They got to the Red Sea, and they had that in front of them. They look behind them, and here comes Pharaoh's army after them. The clouds of smoke, Pharaoh, and here they are now in the middle of two disasters. Do we drown, or do we get killed by the soldiers? You know, fire in line, so to speak, or which one? Because we're stuck in the middle. And they started complaining to Moses. What's God going to do now, Moses? Have you heard from God today? I mean, you were all big and bad getting us out and all this. How soon they had forgotten the 10 plagues that did not come nigh their dwelling. How soon they had forgotten their house had no frogs. Their house had no flies. Their firstborn did not die. How soon they had forgotten that when all the plagues hit their enemies, God protected them. And here they find themselves again between the Red Sea and between Pharaoh's army. What do we do now, Moses? Really? I mean, we're stuck. We're going to die right here in the middle of nowhere. We're going to die in the middle of nowhere. We're going to be on, so to speak, boot heel of Egypt. I mean, we're nowhere. And Moses raises that staff, and you know, we don't know all the detail of what happened, what Moses said, what God really said to him. You know what? But we know the story of Moses just standing at the edge of that sea and raising his staff and just believing for God to do something.
And as he stood there in faithfulness, as he stood there in the middle of his storm, the middle of his battle, he just stood there. And I can imagine he's thinking, okay, God, you called me from a burning bush. Okay, a man that can't speak very well, a man that was a fugitive for murdering his brother, a man on the run hiding in the backside of the desert. Are you kidding me? You called me. And you spoke to me from a burning bush and told me my commission. And here I am now, and I've led these children, all these millions of people, all this way. And I'm standing here, God, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to raise my hands and just trust you to do something. God, do something. About that time, the wind started blowing up, and all of a sudden, the water began to move. And, I mean, God can move the water. Isn't that amazing? God can move the waters. I'm on a cruise, I know. God can move the waters. And as those waters began to divide, all of a sudden, I mean, it's almost, if you could almost draw in a cartoon sketch, it'd be like God was doing this. I could just see the breath of God just blowing upon the waters. And they stood at complete attention. This amazes me. This Red Sea was just divided up like this and stood there. Stood at the attention of the command of God. And the dry ground was presented. And they marched across in the middle. Church, in the middle of the water. In the middle of the storm. In the middle of nowhere. In the middle of the battle. God didn't take away the Red Sea. He caused it to walk right through the middle of it. And sometimes the storm may blow, but God takes us right through the storm. And we come out unscathed because God's hand was on it all along. Because all things are possible. And they get all the way across that Red Sea. And then God, something happens with the Egyptians, the Pharaoh's people. God's O2 level drops. I'm out of breath. And all of a sudden, he just let go. And the waters came back and destroyed the enemies. Can you imagine being one of those Israelites? Oh my God. Did you see what just happened? Oh my gosh. Did you see that? I think it's amazing that, you know, 4,000 years later or so, you know, we're still talking about this. We are still sharing this story with our children. Your children are learning that in Sunday school. Something that happened all those thousands of years ago is still being told as a testament to what God can do. Don't give up when water blocks you. Don't give up when soldiers chase you. Don't give up when there's no way out. There's always a way out when God's in control, because God is our way out, because all things are possible. We're still hearing that story. I think it's beautiful. I think it's awesome that that's carried on thousands of years down the road. Whosoever shall liveth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That means I don't have to worry about ever being separated from the presence of God ever. I've placed my faith in him, the resurrection and the life. And I don't have to worry about death, because I'm not going to die. My body may not always be here and look as good as it does to you today. But I'll tell you this. I know that I will never have separation from God. I mean, that's, what a promise. What a promise. You know, I think our dreams teach us quite a bit. I've said this before. I think our dream world teaches us a lot, how we dream dreams at night. And how that we are sound asleep and we're unconscious to the world around us, really, but we're very conscious to what's inside, what we're dreaming about, and how real that world. I woke up this morning, I had a hard time. I can't remember what day. I woke up and I'm like, it took me a minute. You have those mornings, you wake up, what day is this? Is it Saturday, Sunday, month? What is Melanie here? Yes, she's there. What if I, okay, hang on, what day is it? I had to really think. I was so deep in my dream, I completely lost that time where I even was when I woke up. And luckily for y'all, I remember it was Sunday. But anyway, maybe not so lucky, right? I was so deep, and I got thinking, Lord, this is kind of how I think the kingdom is, that, you know, there's a very real world. There's a very real rim beyond the rim we see, a very real rim beyond the earthly rim, because everything's tangible here. Everything's perishable. Everything grows old. Everything decays. Everything dies. Everything changes.
But the kingdom's eternal. His truth's eternal. His place is eternal. And that doesn't change. Those are unperishable, uncorruptible, undefiled things in his kingdom that just go on and on and on. So I do believe in this verse. I do believe that I will never taste death for my faith in the resurrection, the life. My faith in the one who died for me. Because the Bible says he was the firstborn of them that slept. Jesus became the firstborn to be raised from the dead. Meaning all of us also have that same promise. That we will live a resurrected life. That we will not stay dead. We will not be dead. But we will always be alive. Go to the next verse. She saith to him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master has come and called for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, they rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I want to just say this. It doesn't matter how ending it looks. God is alive, and God is not dead. And as long as God's alive, guess what? Your situation's alive, and your chances are alive, and your opportunity is alive, and your doors are still alive, and your healing is still alive, your deliverance is still alive, your children's lives are still alive, because God is alive. He is alive, he is not dead. So by him not being dead, it means all things are still possible. Mary said, if you'd been here, he'd have been healed. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which come with her, she groaned in her spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said, come see, Lord. We'll take you to where he's at. And verse 35, Jesus wept. Of course, Jesus cried. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave. It was upon a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Aren't you glad God still fixes our stink? Our lives were stinking too. Even after we're saved, they still stink sometimes. And God says, you know what? That don't bother me. I get so frustrated with, and I understand that a lot of this is the church's fault as a whole, that we somehow paint the picture to people that church is for the got-it-together saints, whenever it's really for the people that ain't. That's who it's for. Do any of you go to a hospital if you're in good health? Most of you won't go when you're dying, especially men. Just a heart attack, it'll go away. I'll go next time if it gets worse. I mean, that's how we are. Don't take me to the hospital. I'm good. You know what? The church is a hospital for the soul. It's a place where those that are bruised and hurt and maimed and crippled and blind and lost and searching, who need something to help them. The church is a gathering place for the saints. Of course it is. But it's also a refuge for the sinners and for those in need. Because churches, if a person off this street can't pull in this parking lot and walk into this place and feel any hope, where's he going to find hope at? If all they find is judgmental glances and turned up noses and arrogance, you don't look like me and you don't act like me and you don't dress like me, where are they going to find hope at? Jesus was our greatest example. He went to the Jews fussed to him for that. Lord, what are you hanging out with that person for? Do you not know they're a Samaritan? I mean, they were like dogs in that day. They were like dogs. They're Samaritans. You know, they're not like us. They're not part of God's chosen people. You know who God's chosen people are? All those that he calls. All those that he calls. That's who God's chosen people are. From every land, every tongue, every nation, every background, every city, every town, every street. Whoever God calls is who his people are. And so we have to learn that we're a place of refuge and a place of hope. He said, take away the stone. Martha's sister said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. What does Jesus say? Dead 4 days. Jesus said, I say unto you, if you wouldest believe, you shall see the glory of God. If you'll believe. Do you believe I can do what I say I can do? Do you believe I am who I say that I am? We somehow put God in a religious box through different doctrinal teachings that, you know, a lot of people really, even today, teach that a lot of the gifts of Spirit or the, what people call the apostolic movement of God has passed away. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still the healer, and God is still the filler. And God can still walk on water, and God can still move any mountain, and God can still raise the dead, and God can still cause the most hardened stone heart to be softened and changed in a moment by his Holy Spirit. God's not changed. He's not changed. And we try to limit God because, okay, well, that's, you know, God doesn't move that way. We can't say how God will move. God can move any way he wants. I mean, how many times we quote this verse? For those of you that say that God can't move, God moves in mysterious ways. We quote that Old Testament verse, right? And then when he moves, we're like, oh my gosh, he did it. Yeah. Wow, God did it. Well, he just said he could. You thought he could. We've been praying for 3 years he'd do it. Then he does it and like, oh, snap. God did it? Really? Yes. God can move in whatever way he wants to move. God is still in the miracle business, and that's not changed. You know what has changed, church? We've changed. I said this before, the reason other countries see a different moving of God than we do here in America, it's not because people say, well, that's because America's full of sin. Every nation's got sin. That's not the reason. The reason we don't see God moving the way other countries see God move is we're too dependent on other things but God. We're too dependent. In these third world countries where they have these crusades and revivals and where you see the dead still being raised, I mean really raised, you see the cripple that couldn't walk ever and they can walk again, all their hope and all their faith is in him. They don't have doctors. They don't learn to live with it by taking a pill. They don't have those avenues that we have. A lot of them don't have government assisting like we have here in America. They got God. That's it. It's God or bust. And so all of their hope, all of their faith in just the one. And so as they're at these crusades and they're hearing the gospel message and they're hearing about how this man Jesus loves them and how this man Jesus can heal them, how this man Jesus can change their lives, all of a sudden something inside them comes alive. I need that. I want that. We're too dependent on stuff. I mean, church, you know, when your power goes out of your house, now we lost power the other week for just a few hours, about a week or two ago. We lost power for just a few hours. Something fluky in our area happened. And when you lose power, you realize what you don't have, don't you? You can't use the microwave. You can't watch TV. You can't get on the internet. You can't turn any lights on in the house. I mean, you start really realizing what you, if you were like me, raised in the old school like I was, you couldn't open the refrigerator. Because you got to keep it cold, right? Don't open that refrigerator. So during power outage, I was starving as a kid. Can't get the refrigerator. Don't open it. Power's out. You can't do nothing. You realize how dependent you are on stuff. Wow, go back 150 years, and that's how you were living when your power goes out. Not even living that good still. You don't have any heat or air unless you got, you know, gas logs or some kind of like that. You lose everything. You don't have no, your clocks are flashing, right? Can't tell time. I mean, you got a cell phone now, but if you have that, you wouldn't have nothing. Oh, that's right. Yeah, never mind. They flash when it comes back on. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, you don't have nothing. These other people are so dependent upon God that that's all they have to believe in. And we have been so blessed and probably spoiled as a nation. I mean, I see little kids, 6, 7 years old, already got cell phones and I'm like, are you serious? You're 6? What about a Barbie doll? You know, what about a Ninja Turtle doll? I mean, I don't know, just, I'm not telling my secrets, I'm just saying, I'm trying to think of things, you know. What about that? And we're glued to our stuff. And all of that becomes a distraction. I mean, we can't even go nowhere now without our Jesus. I mean, you know the old days how we got somewhere? We figured it out. Well, let's see. I'm going to Orlando. I know it's south of here. So I'll get on 77. I'll start looking for signs. Florida this way, okay? So I'll head that way. Orlando, 45 miles. Okay, I'll head that. We found our way. If we couldn't find our way, we stopped at some mom-and-pop gas station and asked the old-timer how to get there. Now we got, what's her name? Siri, directions to Disney World. Just a minute, please, and I'll pull that right up. You got that nice voice, you know. Please get on the interstate in 6.2 miles and turn right. And they say it 4 times when you get there. In 1/4 mile, please turn right. In 800 feet, please turn right. In 200 feet, please turn right. Now, please turn right. Oh, my gosh, I got it. You know, back in the old days, you found your way. I bet truck drivers love it now. Back in the old days, man, you always had to figure it out. Yeah, this old tobacco barn somewhere around these parts. I'll just keep driving. I'll see the silo up in the air. I mean, I don't know. How y'all found ways? But I'm just saying we're so dependent. And here we are. Jesus said, take away the stone. And he lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So I want the people to see that I am who I say that I am. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. I want you to, now, how they would do this, they would wrap him up like a mummy back in that day. So I want you to picture, you know, taking a body, we see in the funeral home laying in a casket, having it wrapped up in bandages like a mummy all the way around. And when Jesus called his name, here he gets up, still bound in grave clothes. I mean, here he is, still wrapped in the death that put him behind the stone, but yet that death had to give way to the voice and command of God. Because all things are possible, including when your breath leaves your body, your breath can come back to your body. That's the God we serve. Next verse says, we saw the grave clothes. He says, loose him and let him go. What powerful words to hear the Holy Spirit today saying, loose them and let them go. Loose the strongholds and let it go. Loose the bondage and let it go. Loose the rebellion and let it go. Loose the sin and let it go. When God calls us, that's what he does. He looses us from what had us and gives us everlasting life. He takes what we were and looses the boundness and gives us liberty and freedom. He changes us. That's my last verse, right? He changes us. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Can you imagine how that got around? How the media spun that? I mean, really? This is the Egyptian journal reporting. And Jesus is raised from the dead, but we found out it's his twin brother who really all along was faking death. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it was twisted somehow. But here we see Jesus being raised, raising Lazarus from the dead, and now Mary and Martha, the ones that loved him, who says you could have healed him, saw a much greater miracle. Man, they saw him raised from the dead. All things are possible. You're in here this morning, you're holding on for something, don't give up, you hold on, you believe, and you trust God. Because with God, all things are possible. And you don't give up. You stand your ground, you be faithful, and you trust God with whatever it is you need deliverance from, whatever you need answered, whatever, you know, door. I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes God closes doors, and we mistake that for being a door he didn't open, but it's a door he actually closed. That's a good thing.
Let them close those doors and let them open new doors for your life. All things are possible. Do it. Get a song ready, Melody, for our offerings. Just something to be pulling up for our close out. I don't have. Oh, D, you're here. D, come on up. I guess I don't have no singers here. All the singers are out today, but D is here. So, D, you pick whatever's on your heart this morning. I want you to sing. But don't lose hope and don't give up. Because the same God that we read about in these scriptures is the same God still alive and well today and living inside of us. So if you're battling sickness, God's still the healer. You're battling discouragement, God's still the joy giver. You're battling weakness, God still is our strength. You're battling fear, God can give us peace. God hasn't changed. All things are possible. And I know we read these stories and we're like, yeah, but that was in a book. That was so long ago. But church, we got our own stories. We got our testimonies. Some of you have great testimonies of what God did, how God has healed you, how God has raised you.